And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
What's up? It's India.
Hey, India. How you doing?
Woo! I'm good. I'm good.
How are things going in India's world?
They are going. They are definitely going.
Have you done any, you've done some, what am I trying to think of?
MCing?
Yeah, have you done some MCing recently? What you
mean? Yes, I have done a couple races over the last couple weeks. The most recent one was the Ready to Run 5K with Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I did that this past weekend, so that was fun. And then I have another race on Sunday. Muslimas Endure is having a 5K on Sunday, so I'll be doing that one. So yeah, I've been getting my MCing on.
Okay, so how is it? I mean, in the ones that you do, do you always know some of the runners, or have you ever done one where you really didn't really know anybody and you just kind of worked? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely have done races that I didn't really know many people at all. I think the only race that I have done that was like truly didn't know anybody was, well, I'll say this. Whenever I do the Horizon Race Series, I rarely know people. I've seen them before. Like they've run in like Atlanta Track Club races or something like that, but like not like homegirl, homeboy, like they know me by name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So typically when I do their races, they just have a different population of people. It's like that. And then when I went to Carrollton, Georgia, and that was earlier this year, I did the West Georgia Track Clubs. They had a 5K and a 10K. I did that race, and clearly I don't know many people there. I used to know some people that lived in that area and that was a part of that track club, but they don't live in Atlanta. They don't live in Atlanta anymore. But of course I knew the I did know the organizer and like two other people, but like, as far as calling people across their names across the finish line, that excitement was not there, meaning I was waiting on certain people. It was just me, you know, being excited for everybody.
Like, hey, there's,
you know. so it definitely happens that I have races, but of course, whenever I MC in Atlanta, it's more races than none. I do know people. Like this weekend at the Delta race, there were more people that, I knew at this race that I didn't even know they was running it. I was like, oh, what are you doing here? Like, I was just surprised. And I think more because it was in Marietta. Like, you know, some people don't travel to Cobb, but it was in, it's still in Marietta. So it, you know, I was like, are people going to travel outside the city to do things? But people did. So I was surprised to see people that I saw this weekend, but it was always a good time. So,
yeah. So like you said, there are some races where you don't know anybody, but you give the same energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's Joe Blow or it's, you know, somebody you actually know. What I think is, you know, I would like to know is because you do get to see all these different races that, I mean, honestly, most of the races I run are probably either Tess or Atlanta Track Club. That's probably my world as far as running goes. But like for the ones, these, like you said, Horizon, these different ones, it shows how big running is, you know, where, because you've been around the running community in Atlanta, you know, forever. You know, you're very social, you're all over Instagram, and you don't know these people. Like, okay, how know you? You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting to see how big the running community is. In Atlanta.
That, and it shows the number of race directors that we have, the number of timing companies that we have, the number of like just different resources in general. Because like this weekend I work with, I would say the last two races that I've done, two or three races, I've worked with different timing companies each time. And I'm like, I've never met you. Like I've never seen your company. And I know, not saying that I know every timing company, but it just kind of, it just helps you to understand the footsteps of, you know, what's going on in the running community in Georgia in general. Like it's a lot of different companies doing different things there. You know, you find your population of people. Like when I worked in at the Carrollton race, you know, they said that they're a hometown Carrollton company. So they do most of Carrollton races. So you're not going to see some of the other timing companies that work in Atlanta races work in this race. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but I mean, I definitely have learned that it's all about who you know, and it is definitely kind of like a, I don't say good old boys, but like,
who you know. I mean, you said yeah, it's hey, it's yeah, it's who you know. And I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you started, like, who was the first director that you went with? Was it Tess, or Tess. Had you done some before? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tess was my first race. She was my first race that I ever got on the mic, and she was not my second, but I've since working with her, obviously several doors have opened up for me from with being connected. But I mean, I think for me, I'm just blessed in the race announcing space that my work has spoken for me. It has been that, you know, like if they don't like the services that you do, they're not going to ask you back. And of course, different races have different reasons for not asking people back, whether it be your rate, or sometimes some races don't have enough registrants to be able to pay for the extra, you know, and because some race directors don't see race announcing as a need. Like they're just like, that's an extra entertainment.
They don't need a hype man.
Yeah, they don't need that.
And
what you will always find too is a lot of times the timing companies, they would just do the 1, 2, 3 go, or they'll do a couple of cheers for you, but they don't feel like there needs to be like a separate personality that does the whole announcing thing. And then you have some companies that really value having a race MC because they want you to do the awards. They want you to give all the sponsorship announcements. They want you to do all those things. Mm-hmm. Whereas typically if a timing company is doing that, they're not doing all the extra stuff. Like they're just like, I'll do the 1, 2, 3 go. I'll get the timing together. I'll tell them where the route and all that. And that's it. So, so it's all about finding companies that also value having a race announcer, because it's not every race does. So.
Yeah. You know, I just thought, I kind of thought for sure that a timing company would want, you know, as part of their service, someone, you know what I'm saying?
So a lot of times the timing companies will bundle. So, and that's the thing about it is, it's like sometimes race announcers bundle and sometimes timing companies bundle. So timing companies like, I'll give you your timing. Like the race that I did this weekend, it was like, we'll bring snacks too. So I'll give timing, I'll bring music, and I'll bring a playlist. Right. Like, so they're like, for all of these things, I'm going to give you one cost, and it they're able to have a different cost for different people. So for different services, if they're bundling versus if they're just doing timing. So it's a business.
Definitely. Well, you know, everything's a business.
It's a business. Come on. It's also,
well, you know, I always feel like
realize what it entails, like what it entails to prepare, what it entails to, because I think people see the fun part of it, like you're just on the mic and you're just like you're open with talking, but the lead up, the preparation, the knowing what is needed, like I have a whole questionnaire that I give to clients that are interested. I need to know all the things, because when you're on the mic, everybody's gonna ask you the questions. They ain't gonna find the race director. They're gonna ask the person with the mic all the questions. So I need to know all the things. But yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Have you ever handed a questionnaire to a race director and they go, oh dang, I never, you know, like they never thought of the stuff that you're thinking of?
Yes. So that recently happened. Okay. I had a company reach out to me, and they were new to racing, so they had never done a 5K before. And unfortunately, they were kind of coming to me, honestly asking me stuff that they need to be asking a race director and not a race announcer. And I had to be really blanket with them. Like, you know, that I am very clear. I don't blur those lines. I don't have an interest. Y'all don't have to worry about India adding anything else to her resume. India does not want to be a race director. Race announcing is
next
like
week, the India 5K next week.
No, I am so good. Like race announcing is all I want to do. You don't have to worry about that. But some people do come to me because I think that they see me involved and interacting, that they think that I do race directing too. And some of the questions that they ask me, I'm like, I don't know. Like that's race directed questions. Like I don't know those things. I don't get involved in where to get porta potties and how to do street permits. And I don't get into any of that. That stuff is what's supposed to be done before you even come to me. So, so there is that. I do have to engage them and kind of let them know, like, you know, this is kind of my ballpark. So when I did give them my questionnaire, it really kind of primed them, like, oh, I need to figure out about this. I need to figure out these things. So thank you for that. So it is almost like a checklist for them as well. And I don't give that for every company that I work with. Usually companies that have never worked with me, I give that to them because it's a good blueprint. Like when I work with Tess and stuff, I know how things run and I know that she knows what needs to be done. And if I know companies are not going to give me a run of show and give me all the details, if I don't know anything about your organization, I need a full questionnaire. So
exactly. Well, you know, I mean, and you know, I guess every race I've, well, I mean, of course there's been a few races. I guess there was no race announcer early on, but I mean, I think if the bigger races have race announcers, I feel like every race feels like they should, you know, because it does bring, I ain't gonna lie, when I finished Chicago, even though I thought I was gonna die, the guy said, Thomas Mitchell, you are now marathon, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's those little things that bring people back. It's the little things that make people say, oh, you made this fun. You know what I mean? And the activities that you have, the sponsors that you have there, if you have tents or whatever, like the food that you have, like those are all things that say, yeah, I'll run that race again. Like, and I think that that's what people don't, race directors sometimes don't realize, is that those things that you have around it, you know, if it's organized, if you got a line trying to get a bib, if people don't know where things are when you asking them questions, like all those things is what people think about before they sign up again for a race. And so you really have to have those things buttoned up. And that's what people would say, like, hey, have you heard about this race? And they're going to mention the negative things or the things that they didn't like very much before they tell you the positive things about a race. So,
yeah, definitely. It's not just about blocking off a street. Definitely. Right. Well, with that, let's we haven't talked in a while. We, you know, we interviewed a great guest last time. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen.
Yes, y'all go listen to that episode. It was a great one.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, but we haven't talked in a while. So we've had three world majors since the last time that we talked, Tokyo, Boston, and London. And I ain't gonna lie, I forgot about London. I forgot London was so close to Boston.
To Boston, it was a week after. Yeah. A lot of people went both times, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it was great. So it looks like Tess was over there in London town having a good time.
Yes, Tess got it. Congratulations to her on her 26.2. She got another star under her belt.
Exactly. I saw quite a few people get their 6-star between Boston and London. So, you know, that's great. Now, as far as I think if we're going to talk elites, let's start with Tokyo, because the number one elite in the world came in 10th place.
How you feel now, about that?
I mean, I don't feel any kind of way. He came in 10th. You know, as an old man, I understand. Hey. Time catches up with all of us. Now, I don't know if that's what's going on. I haven't read anywhere where he was injured. But, and as a marathoner, I understand every day don't go your way.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much you train, every day doesn't go your way. So, came in 10th. I have not heard if he's, I can't imagine, even if he came in 10th to Tokyo, that they would not put him on their Olympic team. But I don't think I've heard who their Olympic team is yet.
Yeah.
Or I haven't seen
it. I want to say that I did see an Olympic flyer out and Kipchoge was on the flyer. I think I saw
that. Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, you know, that could change. Yeah. I mean, just because he's on the flyer, but I would think that if he's on the flyer, then, you know, he in there, but I don't
know. I hope he's made the team. But, you know, it is what it is. And also, there are people out there who are truly fighting to get on the team that may have wanted it more. I mean, it is what it is. And honestly, that is not, I won't say it's not the most surprising thing that's happened in world majors. London had a lot of surprises for me.
Really?
Yes. So neither one of us watched it live, but did you see the replay of old girl giving her the forearm shiver?
Yes. Yeah.
For her to get out of the way. I was like, oh, did she just elbow her?
It's a little bow, you know.
Yeah. Oh, look, you need to get out of my way. Now, she looked at her twice before she did it. Like, maybe she was saying, hey, you got me locked. I'm trying to, an old girl who is actually the current world record holder, wasn't given any ground. So she just, and once she got outside, she was gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I would love to hear, I'm pretty sure things get a little bit more chatty and physical in those, when there's bigger groups in that elite setting, some probably things that happen that we probably don't see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think a few times we've seen Kipchoge talk to the other runner, you know, but I think in most cases we have felt like he wasn't saying anything aggressive, but we don't know what he was actually, you know, saying.
They're not mic'd up.
Yeah. So, which, hey, maybe that's the next thing. Maybe we get some mic'd up runners. It'd be a lot of heavy breathing, but, you know, it'd be nice to hear what the elites are actually saying to each other. But, Chepchiri, I think I'm saying that correctly, from Kenya, 2:16:16. It says woman's only world record. So what, I guess I don't know what that means by woman's only world record.
So I think that's the world record in the women's only race. So if it's a women's only race, that's the record that's held in that setting versus this race is mixed category, male, female, non-binary.
Also, now, hold on 1 second. Excuse me. Also, I saw, I thought maybe this was Berlin, but I thought all the pacers were men. Am I incorrect? Because London had women pacers for the women, which I don't think I'd ever seen before.
I think it's sometimes a little rare to have female pacers because I think statistically men are faster, so they can be able to pace times that are a little bit, you know, speedier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just rare. I don't think it's a rule against it. I think it's just rare to see it.
No, I didn't think it was a rule. I just never seen it before. Yeah. That's why I was just kind of like, oh, okay. That I don't know if that was new, but I know Berlin has all men, but maybe I just never paid attention to London to see that they do have women pacers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a good job. You know, they ran a good time. It was a good elites race. Now, a blast from the past came in second in the men's side. Mr. Bekele, who, you know, for a long time, we didn't know if he would, you know, ever finish a race again because he just kept DNFing. He comes in second. And actually, I think he sets a new master's record.
He did. He set a 15. Men's master's world record at 204.15. Mm-hmm. So he actually set that record. So he may have been a blast from the past, but he handling things.
Well, I don't know if he's trying to make, because they said if he can, this would be, what Olympics? Seventh or some crazy number of Olympics that he would be in, because, you know, he had his career in track.
Yeah. Well, so we had London, Boston, the Speed Project also happened over the last couple of weeks. So we had a lot of stuff back to back that took place over the last couple of weeks of us doing solo interviews.
This is a good time of year for running for distance anyway, because it's still kind of cool, but, you know, it's not bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a good time. So I didn't see the Speed Project. Was it well attended or?
Yeah, it always is. I feel like they are definitely branching out and growing more on the people that they are having to come on as different crews. So I feel like we've been seeing a lot of just different groups. I think there was one group. There was a group of six Native American women from the Sierra to Jamalar. Mexico that did, it was six runners that did it in 52 hours and 22 minutes. So they were actually on a couple of articles and were getting a lot of love on social media because obviously having Native American runners is great. I'm going to call them sandals, and I'm not sure if they have a particular name, but they were running in sandals and their cultural dresses. And so it was very interesting to see. Interesting by way of, I'm glad that the Speed Project is branching out, and I'm glad that there are more people and with more diverse backgrounds entering into races and being able to get the publicity that they deserve. So I think that that's great that they're being able to do that. So it seemed like it was a good time, a good outcome. Of course, they are also increasing the number of individuals that are running the race individually. So it's not only just teams, mm-hmm. but they have an ability for individuals to one person to run from from LA to Vegas. And so I do see that, feel like they are increasing that those number of slots. Of course, they start a little bit earlier than your traditional group relays, obviously because it's one person, but I think it's good that they're starting to do that as well.
Yeah. Wow. That is great. Cause yeah, they I wouldn't say they were closed off, but they were definitely wanting to know who you were to you know, have some kind of, you weren't going to just walk off the street and say, hey, I just want to run. Yeah. Can I run this and just enter? It's not the way it worked, but yeah.
I definitely think that they are more selective by way of like, it is a unsanctioned race. Right. So I think that they want to make sure that you have the physical ability to run the speed project and you have the funds and the means to trek through a desert with a team. So I think that is one piece of why they are very selective the way that they are. So I definitely understand their selectiveness, but we'll see. I continue to see some people coming through there.
Yeah. Another race, and this has been a while. I don't think we talked to Selma to Montgomery. Did we talk about that at all?
About it a little bit. That's a race that I still have not been able to do. I had set up a team COVID year, and we had got the van, had got a team, and then it got canceled, and I was just heartbroken because I was the lead on it, and it took a lot of coordination, and I was mad that it ended up like not working. So I have not done that again, and now it's in March, which is always going to be my anniversary, so I don't know if I will be able to, not that I can't do the race, but you know, so planning wise but yeah, that's still a race that I have not done yet. I know that our good friend Troy, we had him on our podcast. He actually did the
51 by
He did those miles solo by himself running. So that can be done solo as well. But that was considered his first ultra marathon. So he knocked it out the park.
Yes, indeedy. Yeah, that's another one. That's one I need to look at because I don't want to do the whole thing by myself. I think I would do maybe two people maybe, or, you know, something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah. I know it's hard these days to get adults to commit to things, but
because I would have to plan pretty far out, you know, that kind of thing. But that's definitely one that's
The date is out for 2025. So I think I just saw the flyer, and I want to say that it is March 16th of 2025. So if you wanted to plan.
It is the 16th.
Yep. So if you wanted to plan far enough, I feel like you could.
Yeah, definitely. But I keep seeing these world majors and I'm still like, okay, I'm not dying until I'm in my 80s. So I got time.
You got time. But you also want to do them and enjoy them and not be. Yeah. No, I get it. Well, I mean, maybe you can get to a point where maybe you can give yourself a couple more years and do them when the kids can go with you to London or Tokyo and enjoy like a vacation.
No, maybe that. Nobody want these kids. I don't know who are you talking to. No, that's the opposite. I want them old enough so I can leave them at the house. Like, no, dad's going to London. I'll holler at you.
I don't understand.
You go to London when you can pay for it.
I be seeing people go to these world majors that are international and they like go and come right back. I'm like, no, I'm staying over there. Like it is a vacation.
I can't imagine going to London. I mean, I've been to England, but I literally was like there for a hot minute because I was on my way to somewhere else. But yeah, I can't imagine going to London and not being able to like, go see things. When I was younger, if my 30s and 20s and whatever, then I could see it. Like, I don't care. Yeah, I'll go, I'll party all night and I'll get on a plane and I'll, you know, come home because that's all you cared about. But now I would like to go actually see the sights and, you know, take photos and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that one night thing, I could not do. Berlin's another one. Yeah, definitely would want to have time to look around and, you know, kind of hang out. And, you know, the people that I've talked to that have had a chance to go and do all these world majors, the outside of the race, they have loved it. So, you know, as far as the visiting the countries, whether that be Japan, you know, England or Berlin, or Germany, they've loved the sightseeing aspect of it.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
And they're it's all in cities that I've, you know, never been to.
Yeah. It's on my list. Like I said, I'm not going to be doing any marathons outside of world majors, but you know, it's on my list. And I'm, like I said, Boston is still uncertain, but we'll see. We'll see. Cause Boston's the only other one city wise that we need or in the US. So, yep. So we'll see. I wanted to mention this. I don't really want to, I guess you can call it controversy, with the Boston Marathon. A couple different things. So, you know, last year we talked about the Boston Marathon and how Pioneers Run Club and Sid Baptiste and that whole crew of people had a cheer station. Police were like overmanning it. And it was like a big hoopla of issues that was then escalated to the BAA and different things happened with that. So this year, they were barricaded down. They had barricades out, so you couldn't come into the streets. However, there was a portion of the race that had balloon arches and all this in the streets, and it didn't seem like it was police the way that our section was police last year. So, of course, there's still that controversy. From what I understand, there is some people that are still escalating, even getting to like a lawsuit type situation with the BAA.
Yeah, I saw that.
That happened last year. And I just really think that race directors and organizations, they have to really look at everybody as a whole and not section it off as to in groups. Like, you have to treat everyone the exact same way. And I feel like if you were to treat everybody the exact same way, you wouldn't be in these issues. Like, quite just point blank period. Some of these issues definitely would not be happening. So it is very interesting. So something that came up this year, and this happened with a young man that I met when I went to DC for the District Running Collective. His name is Hector. It happened to him. So he is one of the only Dominicans that from New York, I think he's from the Bronx, that was trying to complete the 6 world majors. Boston was his last world major. So he was very excited to get into Boston, very excited to do the race. Unfortunately, when he went to go claim his 6th star, World Major World Major Marathon told him, sorry, you did not meet the time cutoff for Boston, so you don't get the star for that. And so he was really gutted. Like, and I would have been gutted too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things. I know Tokyo has a strict cutoff time. I think they have the balloon lady, the person, like, they will sweep you off the course. So I know Tokyo does that in a couple of the other races. So I've heard two ends of the spectrum, Tommy. So I've heard people that says, and I think I've been in this space, and I probably have said this on the podcast before. I personally know that at this point, I am a 6-hour plus marathoner. And until I get that time to be in a better place, there's just certain races that I'm not going to sign up for, right? Now, that does not mean that that is okay. Like, that doesn't mean that the world of running,
you're just not going to put yourself in that situation.
Yes, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. However, I also, on the other side of the coin, I can hear people that are going to forever be 6-7 hour marathoners saying, well, race directors need to adjust their rules and for it to not be so strict around cutoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
the other part of me says, I agree. Like, I feel like it needs to be a little bit more inclusive. Like, we know that, you know, just because you run a 3-hour marathon and a 7-hour marathon is still a marathon. It's still 26.2 miles, regardless on how you slice it. I think the issue becomes for me is that I know that there are rules around road closures, standards on being able to have roads open for like X amount of time. I don't know if you saw the article, but I want to say that it was New York Roadrunners was they were trying to charge New York Roadrunners thousands. I think it was like $500
for the bridge.
Open for a bridge. It's stuff like that. Like, it costs for the roads to be open. So I think when I think about the race directing piece of it, and again, I'm not a race director, but when I think about the race director piece of it, of roads having to be opened again, and then I think about the fact that I am a 6-hour plus marathoner, I conflict in that. And I think when I conflict in it, I just say, India, just don't sign up for the race and train up for it, right? But then it's like the part of me of the back of the pack part is like, it's not always just train up for it, because you could have trained for an amazing day. Anything could have happened on that day and you end up being a 6-hour marathoner, right? Like, you could be a 4-hour, 3-hour marathoner and your marathon day could just been horrible. You could have got injured. Anything could have happened and you could have turned into a 6-hour marathoner, 7-hour marathoner. So I don't know. It's like this hard line for me. Because, and it's like, I know that I will be gutted. Like, when I first did Chicago, my name was not in the newspaper after the race, because I didn't meet the time cutoff of, I think I came in at 6:38, and I think you had to be 6:30 or less in order to get into the newspaper. So the following, when I did it again, even though I got my star, I did get my star for that race. But when I did it again, I was like, I'm getting in this newspaper. Like, there was a part of me that pushed for that.
That was your goal. Yeah.
And I ended up getting 20 plus minute PR on that race. But it still was the fact that those are things that gut you. Those are things that you put in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks worth of training, and you completed the miles. It's not like you didn't complete your miles, but you don't get the reward of it at the end. So I'm just wondering, like, for him in the Boston situation, there was a 30-minute buffer after the last person crossed the finish line. So you did have to cross the finish line within a certain amount of time in order for it to count. But a part of me feels like it should just count.
So I understand. And I saw, once you said that, I know who you're talking about, because I did see an article about him. Or a post on Instagram, something like that. Okay, so
give me your take.
I don't run because I'm right there with you right now. I mean, we're both in New York. Hey, yeah.
But the only reason why we ran New York kind of untrained, because we knew you New York gave you 20 hours a minute.
Yes, we knew. But I'm not going to Berlin and doing that. I'm not going to Tokyo and doing that, because I know what's going
to
happen. Now, is it because I have not always, like, because when I have trained up, I know what I can do, is why I think like that? Now, what if I was a person that is just not in me to ever run any faster than I ran New York? What if I can just, it's just no matter what I do, I could never do it. Mm-hmm. How would I feel? I'm kind of the same way. I got two ways of thinking of it. Mm-hmm. One, whether we think it is or not, these races are competitions. Whether we think it is or not, these races, these marathons, these are competitions. When they list the results, they put a number by your name, not just your time. They put the time when you finished. Mm-hmm. What was your number when you finished? They did it and do it. They do it by women. They do it by men. They do it by age.
So,
this is a competition. In competitions, there you can be DNF. You did not finish in time. Mm-hmm. So I understand that side of it. Also, I understand, knowing race directors, how expensive it can be to keep. I can't imagine what it costs the roadrunners and you know, to keep those roads open in New York City. Shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Atlanta, Peachtree. I mean, that'll, how, you know, because you see that Peachtree, they clean that suck up quick and get you out of there. Mm-hmm. Because of how expensive it is to keep them roads open. So I understand. On the other end, personally knowing people who that's how, you know, have interviewed people who that's how they do, you know, they are runners. They are more runners than I am probably right now. So you feel bad, like, dude, that's a runner. They deserve. I'm just mad that I can almost understand Boston, but I don't understand Abbott. Mm-hmm. Why, dude, he finished.
Mm-hmm.
Give him his star. But, you know, there's even, I was surprised, I don't know if you saw this, London has their own version of what New York has. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But they actually have, like, volunteers who will walk with them.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I did not know that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I don't want to say it's new, but I don't think that I had seen that in previous years, or maybe it wasn't publicized or televised.
Yeah,
people didn't, you know, we don't know unless somebody posted on Instagram, but like, maybe we just didn't see that. But yeah, I was happy to see that it's like, until the last finisher comes in, like, you get it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that I honestly wish that more races were like more of the world marathons and more of the world major marathons and more just marathons in general, I feel like should have a little bit more lenience, like New York and like London. However, I also get why they don't. Like, I get it. I get why they don't. It's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it can't be like that. And it's like, you can't have both the best of the, you can't really have both of the worlds. And it's just unfortunate. Yeah. And it's gutting because now he does have to run Boston again in order to get that knocked off. And I'm sure he has some put right now. I think he is feeling defeated and feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to gas him to maybe even, run it faster or whatever the situation is so that he can do it. Or it could transition him to be like, you know what, forget it. I'm a six-star marathoner, and you know, I don't have to have that medal.
Well, now, and I don't remember the young lady's name, that Boston did. I don't know if Boston did. Who did this? Abbott did the story on her. She had tried. She hadn't finished Boston in time. Like, she had tried two times before, and then she did it on the third one. Actually, a lot of people we know had cameos in her video. But it also has to do with, now, I don't know where this gentleman started. It has to do with where you start.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like, if you can be, if you start in the first wave, like, if he started,
you got it regardless. You got it in the bag regardless.
Yeah, because you're gonna make it.
Because it's the last person.
Exactly.
So this is kind of a sidebar, but not a sidebar. So I had a friend that was signed up for a race. Matter of fact, it was the Cherry Blossom 10 miler. Mm-hmm. And the Cherry Blossom 10 miler now has a pretty strict cutoff. Right.
Oh, really? Okay.
She hadn't been running. Well, when I say strict cutoff, I mean, I think she had to do a 13, 15 mile in order to not get swept. Right. Which,
gotcha.
That is strict for some people. Like right now, I know that will be strict for me. Right.
Yeah.
But I think that her concern was being she hadn't been running and hadn't been trained up. However, in the past, she could drop easy 10s and it would be easy peasy. Let me get this done. Right. Yeah. She hadn't been running. So running a solid 13 minute mile there, that meant no walk breaks for her. Like, she was like, I have to keep chugging this along anyway. But what I explained to her, I said, you could do this, but you need to push your way up to the first or second wave. I'm like, that is how you're going to be able to cushion putting some walk breaks and not stressing yourself. I said, because if you're in that last wave, that's more stress on you because you're going to be looking back to see when that person is coming and when you're going to get swept. And it's the last person that crossed in that wave. But if you get in those higher up waves, you got cushion. But I don't know if a lot of people realize.
Pass you, but you got time. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was mentioning the lady from Boston because Little Birdie said, well, she made it this time because Boston gave her a wave front row. A wave up front. And that's how she was able to do it. Which, I don't bust the hustle. Great. If you can do it. But if I'm in the last wave and my time and somebody in the first wave's times are the same, why can't I? You know what I'm saying? So it's a hard one. It's a hard one. I think we both agree, though, we're not putting ourselves in that situation. Because right now, like you said, we only got a couple left. I ain't going all the way to Berlin to be told you need to.
I'm not going all the way nowhere to not get a medal, because there's some of these races that you won't get a medal at all. I'm glad that he got his Boston medal, but I'm sad that he didn't get his 6-star medal. But like, there's some of these places that you won't even get a medal. Like you finish this race and won't get nothing because they like cut off the finish line. Them been taken down. Like you won't get nothing at all. So but to transition from that, I think this is also one of the reasons why 26 Point True is a marathon. Like, and that is the Boston Marathon, the marathon that takes place the week of Boston, the official Boston Marathon. It is takes place on the Saturday before the Monday of the Boston Marathon, the BAA Boston Marathon. And it's in your neighborhood of Boston Runners. It's done by Pioneers. And I just really feel like the things that we were just talking about is the reason why people really are pushing for the 26 Point True race, because they're like, you don't have to worry about this. You're actually running in Boston streets. You don't have to stress about, you know, all of these things. Like, we are here to support you regardless. Now, I don't know if you saw, but something that I loved, Molly Seidel actually participated in 26 Point True this year.
Oh, really?
I think that is a huge deal, because I feel like the race is not getting the publicity that it deserves. And I think because one, it is, I don't think it's a sanctioned race, meaning I don't think that they're officially blocking off roads. Like, I think they have like turns and stuff for you, and people are out cheering you on, water stations and all that stuff. But I think that that's one thing. But I think that people are also not wanting to, quote unquote, boycott against BAA and their Boston. Because even still, you're not hearing some of the major podcast channels. You're not hearing your major runners talking about 26 Point True. Like, you're not hearing people that are like Boston heavy, like talking about 26 Point True. So I thought that it was very interesting and great that Molly actually did it. She's sponsored, obviously, by Puma, and she posted about it on social media. She had a little video and everything. And I think that that was great. And I hope to see more elite, and I hope to see, I hope to hear more of these major running podcasts outside of us talking about 26 Point True, because it should. It should get the publicity that it deserves.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think, and to sit here, and I'm not going to sit here and bash Boston or anything like that.
Of course.
They have made strides to, you know, try to be inclusive and things like that. But, you know, when you a marathon that has to turn away thousands of runners, I mean, when you're a marathon that turns away thousands, when you turn away people who qualify for your race, you're like, look, what else do you want me to do? This is where we are. Mm-hmm. It's about the times. And that's probably why Boston is the way it is. It's about the times.
It's been an elitist race for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they still have a lot of work to do. They have made some strides, but I feel like they still have a lot of work to do. Just like any other organization. There's a lot of other organizations that's made some strides. But we're definitely not to the finish line. So I think that there's room for everyone. You know, a part of me feels like, shoot, Boston will probably be my last. Like, if push come to shove, it will probably be my last outside of the other ones.
I'm going to Sydney, whatever. Yeah, I ain't even running Boston. I'm going to go to Sydney to get my start.
That too. Sydney would be awesome. Like, is there a way to still be a world major marathon take Boston out of the calculation and add Sydney in. If I could do that, I would do that. I would do that.
I'm telling you, I'm thinking that's what's going, because I can't imagine that they would add Sydney as a world major and then say, well, now you got to get seven. I can't imagine they would do that. Yeah, because there's so many six stars out there. Now, I can see them. So maybe
it's like there's seven, but you can get a six star however you want.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So all these six stars can go to Sydney and get a seven star, but instead of running Boston, you can run Sydney. And if that's the case now, Sydney's on the other side of the world. But
I would do that. Like, personally, right now, if money was an object, I would be like, forget Boston. I would go to Sydney. Like, first of all, it would be another trip. And second of all, it would just be an amazing, amazing weekend. But it would also just, like, pull away my feelings of how Boston is very elitist and how I don't absolutely love it. Yeah, so it would just allow me to, like, not stress or be concerned about that, or concerned about a cutoff, quite frankly. So
exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, that conversation came out of nowhere, but that's how it goes sometimes.
That is definitely how it goes sometimes. So I don't know about you, Tommy, but what's next on your running schedule? Only thing that I have is Peachtree. I have Peachtree signed up.
Yeah, and that's it. Peachtree. For me. I'm virtual in it. I'm going to do a virtual. I'll be at home watching it on TV with my children as we look for mom, because Heather's going to run it, you know, the same day. But that's pretty much it. As you know from probably reports from your friend, I've been hitting the gym a lot. That's my thing right now. But I am still running, but I'm not doing more than, like, I'll do a 3 miler here and there. But, you know, nothing more than that. But once I get within 8 weeks of the 4th of July, I'm going to, you know, build it up some, just so I can, you know, go out and do my virtual respectively.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to give this, I'm not running as of yet. And obviously, just because for people that have seen my posts, I'm currently going through IVF, and that IVF, people have seen me post about it on social media. But in relation to running, unfortunately, IVF and running don't mix very well. For people that don't know that, when you're going through the stimulation process and stimulating your ovaries to be able to do egg retrieval and all that stuff without getting scientific, running is a high intense workout that they don't recommend doing during that time, during that process. So for those that have asked why I'm not running, that is a portion of it, medical reasons. It's not advised for me to do running right now. But hopefully by the time Peachtree training is available, time it is really close to Peachtree, hopefully I would have been able to ramp up to that. But in highlight of Infertility Week, that is this week, I just wanted to bring that up. So yeah, that's what's going on. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to start running again and I can be ready for Peachtree. If not, we're going to walk Peachtree out. We're going to get it done. Braxton is signed up again. He'll be doing that. And hopefully my niece Isla will be doing Peachtree Junior again. Yes, her name is the same as Tess's child, Isla, but I have two Islas in my life. We'll be doing Peachtree Junior again. So I'm excited about that. So.
Yeah, we think we're going to go ahead and let Jasmine seems to be ready for the race. Yeah, I think she's going to do her first little dash. So we're going to see how that goes, because she might, you know, she likes to run. But when you tell a kid go, she might just turn around and look at me like, what, go where? Yeah.
Like, so I like to run, but I like to run on my own time, not on command.
Exactly.
Besides Trey. So, Trey is like, exactly. You better say
Trey go. Been running away. Yeah, he been running away from us since he was born. So there you go. Well, anyway, so India, if they want to reach out to you, they've started their own 5K.
And oh, they want to come and do I'm going to direct hype. You to somebody else. If you need hype. Be the hype person, yes.
Yeah, be the hype. They got their 5K. They want you to come hype it up. How would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you are interested in my services as a race announcer, you can hit me up on at contact@milesfromindia.com or on my website at milesfromindia.com. You can just hit the link of contact me and it'll direct you right to my email to be able to email me and we can chat about it. But if you want to follow me anywhere else, you can follow me on Instagram at @IamIndigoRuns. And that is, again, I_of_indigo with the E. @TMitch_runs, and that's where you can find me.
And you can hit me up on Instagram @TMitch68 and Thomas W. Mitchell, the number 2, @gmail.com. All right, Andy, until next time.
All right. Have a good one.
Peace.